price gouging, so we're shouting, who's jacking up the cost of fuel? I can't afford it, I'm banging on my dashboard, I can't believe they think I'm a fool. Price gouging, so we're shouting, who's jacking up the cost of fuel? Oh, 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 I can't afford it, I'm banging on my dashboard, I can't believe they think I'm a fool.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm speaking with Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Currently, he is the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures options and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Greenberger.
Happy to be here. Good to talk to you, Ian.
And what really does explain the cost of the price of oil? It's actually went down a little bit yesterday, but it's been for the last few days at Brent crude at $115 a barrel and U.S. crude at $105. And my understanding is that there are $40 billion in bets on the in the commodities market that oil will go up. And doesn't that, if you bet that oil is going to go up, doesn't that help it go up?
It certainly does, and it's quite ironic because in the summer of 2008, we had a similar experience where oil was shooting up to the point where it reached a world record high in mid-July of $147 for a barrel of the American benchmark crude oil product. And many of us, since May 2008, had been arguing that this was not a supply-demand problem, but it was a problem of excessive speculation in these markets where big banks, those banks, by the way, that we all bailed out in September of 2008, were essentially offering casino-like bets on the upward direction of a basket of 25 commodities to wealthy investors and wealthy institutions. The analysts of those banks we're saying oil's nearing 150, it will probably go to 200. Why don't you buy something with a technical name called a commodity index swap, which is nothing more than going to a betting window and say, here's my money, I want to bet that the price of commodities will go upward. The banks, just like a bookie, had to lay off the risk. They essentially were going to have to pay for a dollar for every dollar, for example, oil went up. So they turn around and go into the real oil markets and buy oil futures that have a direct impact on the spot price of oil. And to the extent the bets increase in their shop, they've got to go shop more and more for contracts that entitle them to the delivery of oil. By the end of that summer, both the House and the Senate were fully convinced that supply-demand had nothing to do with it. And both houses, the House by a 2-to-1 majority and the Senate in another situation where they couldn't get cloture or 60 votes, but they got 53 votes, both voted to limit this speculative activity because of its adverse impact on the markets. There's been a debate now for the succeeding roughly 3 years. We thought the issue was put to rest when the Dodd-Frank Financial Regulatory Reform Bill was passed, which had a very serious mandate in it that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission should limit this betting because it costs a speculative premium to the American consumer. But on January 26th, it became clear that there were almost certainly not enough votes in the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to implement what Congress required. And since that day, through the end of last week, oil has risen almost 25% because the speculators know there's no cop on the beat. Of course, what they're saying is it's the unsettling circumstances in Libya, the possibility that Saudi Arabia will collapse. But those Libya has a very small percentage of the world oil market. Even with Libya out of commission, and they're not out of commission, there's more than enough supply to meet demand. The Saudi government appears that it has trouble, but appears also very stable. And what is really being used is the cover of using the excuse of unsettling circumstances in the Middle East is forming a cover of darkness for speculators to race into the market, and the market is now awash with excessive speculation. Only recently, in the last, say, 10 days, has this received renewed attention. CBS Evening News did a story about it last week, and Ed Schultz on MSNBC ran four different stories on it. And frankly, the fact that people's attention is being called to the speculation, I think, explains why the price has sort of dropped recently.
And Michael Greenberger, again, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the spike in back in 2008 of up to $147 a barrel, 60 Minutes did an investigation into that, and they found that that was not due to ExxonMobil hoarding oil, but to they named J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs as the biggest holders of oil contracts in the world.
Yes, that's what they discovered was that Morgan Stanley, who is a big casino operator in this field, actually was so convinced that they now had established a practice to drive the price of oil up. They bought enough oil to become the largest heating oil dealer in New England. And you may recall in 2009, there was a very disappointed Citibank executive who was being denied a $100 million bonus because of federal limits imposed on the bailout of Citi. And how did he make his money? He made his money loading tankers full of oil and sending them around the world and causing a false supply-demand indicator and driving the price of oil up. And he believed he was entitled to a $100 million bonus. What's discouraging is every time this happens, we have to re-educate Congress and re-educate the American public that there's not a supply-demand problem. There is a big bank speculation problem here. And by the way, it's not just oil, it's all commodities. Food prices are going through the roof, and it's all derives from the same thing. You can place bets with big banks. You don't own anything except the bet that the price of a basket of 25 commodities will go up. The banks have to turn around in the real commodity markets and buy futures contracts that drive the price of everything from red wheat to copper, to crude oil, through the roof. You hear that core inflation is not advancing. What they mean by core inflation is everything except food and oil, or food and energy. Well, that's where we're getting hit. And a lot of very well-respected economists worldwide, and interestingly enough, the European Union, which has been much more sensitive to this, are making it clear that if we are to have a recovery from the collapse in 2008, which was caused by these very same banks, we cannot have a commodity bubble in food and energy.
So, Michael Greenberger, this means that a handful of people are getting incredibly rich speculating, and they're doing things that should be criminal, like filling tankers up and sending them off to cruise around in circles just so that the price will all go up. Our audience, people go to the pump all the time. We're in a recession. We're trying to recover from a recession. This is hitting average mom and pop America in a place where it hurts, and they're already hurting. I mean, I just don't understand why our political leaders aren't crying foul.
Well, it's my hope. What I saw in the summer of 2008 was when gasoline went over $4 a gallon, the American people really got up in arms about it. And that had an effect of blunting all the lobbying. And by the way, the big oil companies profit from this, but they aren't driving this cost. It's really the very banks that we bailed out in the fall of 2008, winter of 2009. But the problem here is that they even have now passed a law that should control this. But the Congress has changed. The Republican majority in the House wants to undo these laws. The regulators who are required to implement it are standing on their heads to avoid doing their job. And most disappointingly, President Obama, when he was running for president in June of 2008, called out the speculators and called for tough regulation. But in his speech last week, there wasn't a word about this excessive speculation. The point I would make here is that to blunt this, you don't even have to bring a criminal prosecution. You don't have to prove that there's an intent to drive the price up. There is supposed to be in place things called speculative position limits that are imposed that limit the ability of these speculators to get their hands on all the contracts they'd like to buy to cover the bets they're making to wealthy investors. And what simply is happening right now is the Obama administration is not talking about this. Congress is not talking about it, and the regulators are looking the other way. And only if the American people speak to their representatives, their senators, their members of Congress, contact the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. They're having a rulemaking session on this now that closes on March 28th, and tell them that they absolutely must limit the participation of speculators in the market where they are needlessly driving the price of these commodities up.
And Michael Greenberger, again, formerly director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Logically, you would think that the only people who would be trading in commodities would be the end users, the oil refineries or the Pillsbury for the wheat and Archer Daniel Midland, people who actually do something with the product and turn it into something else, into another product. Since they're dealing with raw materials. That seems to be the logic. Wasn't that the original intention of a commodities market?
It's not only the intention, it's the purpose of the commodities market to allow the producer of energy products, the producers of food products, to hedge to ensure they make a reasonable return, and for the consumers of food and energy in the business world to hedge. So you have a tension in these markets between the producers and the consumers that makes the price adhere to market fundamentals. And you need some speculation in order to create liquidity for the commercial users of these products. The key word is excessive speculation. When you have too many speculators, and the farmers in the late 20s and 1930s, early 1930s, during the Depression, spotted this completely, that their prices were being driven not by supply-demand, but by speculators in the market. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the first pieces of legislation he sent to Congress was to put speculation limits on this gambling so that the producers and consumers had a market where they could hedge their risk and avoid having excessive costs. Those position limits got eaten away by non-transparent staff exemptions granted to big banks, so they were completely dormant by the time we got to the summer of 2008, and there was a commodity bubble, not only in oil, but in food and other energy products. We thought we had it fixed. We got a law passed in July of 2010, but it now appears that it's just so many words on paper. The drafters of that law don't seem to be encouraging administrative compliance. The president isn't mentioning it, even though when he campaigned, he promised he would drive speculators from these markets. So unless the American public wakes up, they're not only going to be paying money they can't afford to go into the pockets of big bank traders, but it has the likelihood of breaking the back of the economic recovery and sending us into another recession. And in another recession, there's not going to be any bullets left. There will be no TARP money. TARP is politically infeasible to get through again. No stimulus package, no quantitative easing. And in the absence of creating a financial safety net, we could be facing the very deluge that we thought we escaped in the fall of 2008, and that is a depression.
So just in wrapping this up, Michael Greenberger, the same people who brought our economy to a near death that we bailed out back in 2008 are now screwing us again. And they could screw us to the point where we won't recover from the recession and we'll go back into a double dip.
That is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And the credit crisis in 2008 was caused by gambling on subprime mortgages. And
right.
Now it's gambling on the direction of commodity prices.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us today, Michael Greenberger. Again,
happy to do it, Ian. Good to talk to you.
Again, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Future Trading Commission. This has been a Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank my producers, Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. Our theme music is by Los Lobos. You can hear this program, sign up for podcasts, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'm also writing a daily blog. Go to ianmasters.com and click on blog. You may leave comments, and I would love to know what you think. I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.